Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
We are in our Daniel fast right now, and I'm excited about it. I have been excited about it for a while, and I'll just tell you, I'm believing God in a number of different fronts. And tonight I want to talk to you just about five. There's really nine types of fasts in the Word, and I'm just going to talk to you about five of them tonight, and just kind of hit and run with them. You know, it's not going to be in depth. It's not going to weigh you down. It's just going to give you some hope. Okay. But in this Daniel fast, I'll just tell you, it gives us an opportunity. And how this works, because, man, we've all got a lot going on. We've all got families. We've all got vocations. We've all got, what's happening in the world today. I mean, the world's just changing so much. And do you know there was a day where, in the middle of the Civil War, that President Lincoln called a national fast? And you know that America, from that point, had 38 years of increase in the national budget, in how the finances in the country were, and the whole thing. But we look at this in our life, that our fast doesn't move God. We're not proving anything to God. We're not jumping through hoops for God to perform in our behalf. But here's how this works. See, we're made up. We are spirit beings. All right. And that's why Jesus said, look, I speak to you on spiritual matters, man, not fleshly matters or not carnal matters, but we're spirit beings, and we also have a soul, and our spirit's what's born of God. But our soul, listen, is our mind, our will, our emotions, our decision-making. That's all a part of our soul. Okay. So what happens is we make Jesus the Lord of my life. Everybody say, God, I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And once we do that, listen, man, that causes a birth, a rebirth in our spirit. In our spirit, we're born again. Man, for me, I came alive for the first time in my life, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. I mean, I stopped doing drugs. I stopped partying. I stopped carousing. I mean, I went from being over the top in it to just cold turkey would have been slow on how I did it. I mean, I just stopped doing it because I became a new creation in Christ. But you know what? I was born again. But see, our minds begin to change a little bit, but what God wants us to do is to transform our minds. Now, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? It's by God's word. See, God's word's so powerful, it renews our minds. All right, it transforms us, okay? But we also have a body. So for practical purposes tonight, to make this clear for everybody, our bodies and our soul and our minds make up our flesh, okay? So then it puts us in two parts. We have a flesh and we have a spirit, okay? We're flesh and we're carnal. We're give me another piece of pie, people. That's not our spirit, okay? It might seem like it, but maybe if it's one of Renee Dinamore's mom's pies, that's a little different. Okay, I don't know. Now I retract that statement. But our what God wants us to do, listen, is to feed our spirits. That's what God's word does. That's what our time here together does. In Isaiah the 40th chapter, the 31st verse, which is what I'm believing God for this year in this church. But it's real simple. But those who wait upon the Lord, remember in the Hebrews, that's actually those who gather together before the Lord, like we're doing tonight. Those who gather together before the Lord shall renew their strength. Everybody say, I'm strong. Listen, and you might say, well, how do you know? Because you're here. Because you're gathering together before the Lord. This is how this works. Here, write this down, okay? We live by principles, not by feelings. We live by principles, not by feelings. I don't feel like I'm very strong. Let me tell you, we don't live by how we feel. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, right? You with me on that? How many of you guys are with me on that? No matter how you feel, no matter what your symptoms are, no matter what your bank account's telling you, I'm telling you, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say, I'm strong. So here, they shall renew their strength. So everybody say, I'm strong. Okay, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means that we're elevated. See, what God's done is he's elevated us, seated us in heavenly places in Christ. So now the rudimentary things of the world that mess with mankind can't mess with me, can't get near my heart. Man, I could put a guard on my heart that I realize no evil shall befall me nor any plague come near where I live. I can put a guard on my heart where I can take, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm me. So I'll mount up with the wings of evil. I'm elevated. Everybody say, I'm elevated. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. We run as one who wins. And you know what? We walk worthy of the Lord and the vocation wherewith we're called. See, there's things. See, the funny thing about this is the standards of our lives kind of, it's a moving target a lot of times. There's things that I realize because of what I do in God's house. As an example, okay? The Bible says held to a stricter standard. I know all that, okay? But there's things that you might say, man, it's okay for me to do. Man, I could do it. It's not that big a deal. Yet, if you saw me doing it, it'd be a huge disappointment. You might even just walk away. You know, I mean, simple things like I could lose my temper. Man, it could be, hey, there's people that go, man, it's not that big a deal if you drink. Man, you could have a drink. What if you saw me? I mean, I promise you the same person says that if they saw me out having dinner and, man, I'm slamming beers. You're thinking, no, wait a minute. Hey, whoa, pard. Is that my tithe money you're using? Hey, don't be thinking you guys are so elevated you don't think like that. I'm just telling you that's how it works. Our standards are all over the map, all right? But see, the bottom line is this. All right, let's talk about this. Oh, not my kid. Well, my kid's, hey, it's because he's hanging around with the wrong kids. It's like, when do you realize your kid's the wrong kid? You better get in there and be a parent. See, so we have to understand in our lives now that we live by standards. We live by principles and not by feelings. So that's why the fast is so vital in the Christian walk. Not just the first 3 weeks of the year. Man, it's in this, and I realize now that it's important for me as the set man in this house, in God's house here, for me to call a fast now and then. And you know what? For some people, it might just be a day. Man, for some of you guys that have children, you might fast cereal. You might with your kids. Your kids might fast cereal. They might fast sweets. They might fast pop. But you know what? For us, I'm just telling you, for me in my life now, I'm going to be a stickler on this. I'm not looking to see, well, is this okay? And, hey, can we have this? And, oh, my gosh, this. No, you know what? It becomes, to the point, a Daniel fast by nature is that we don't partake of pleasurable food. Now, for me, that doesn't compute. Food is my friend. I mean, and a doggone dear friend. I'm here to tell you right now. But, man, I got a loop. That loop is restaurants. It's not much else. It's like, that's how I get my bearings. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, Hank's Burgers, yeah. I know where that is. It's by Hank's Burgers. But the opportunity that we have here in these 3 weeks, and for some of you guys that maybe haven't started the fast with us, we started Sunday. Some of us started the beginning of the year because we had a lot more to deal with in our lives. But you might just start today. You might say, okay, what is it? Okay, a Daniel fast is this. And that's what we've called as a church, okay? And really, honestly, we've kind of pulled the choice out of it for you, okay? We're not giving you a choice to do it. If you're a part of this church, you're Daniel fasting with us because we're believing God, all right? And really how it is no meat, no dairy products, no choice bread. You know, so it's like sweets, most processed stuff. I mean, you have to eat, really honestly, it's stuff that's probably better for you than what you've been eating. I'll tell you, we started on Friday, Sandy. And I think by Sunday, I got up and thought, oh my gosh, I felt different. It was like, and I know all the toxins, all that stuff wasn't out of my system yet from what I had gorged over the holidays. I don't know about you guys, but Sandy starts putting up Christmas stuff. People start sending cookies and sweets and stuff. I go on a binge. I'm eating, man. We're taking care of all of this stuff right here. We were given the Jones, these pastors Kalamazoo, Michigan, sent us a pastor send each other gifts. And I don't know, we got a lot of pies and other stuff. But they sent a cheesecake from the Carnegie Deli in New York City. It was like they sent me a 45, but the weight benches, the 45-pound plates. I'm not exaggerating, am I? It took like three UPS guys to carry it up my sidewalk and put it in my front door. It's like this thick and like this big around. And it's like, oh my gosh. Man, we saved it for Christmas Eve. I put it in the fridge in our garage. And I would just, man, I'd be leaving. I'd be going out to my car truck and I'd open up the garage door. I'd just look at it and think, that is amazing. I didn't worship it or anything. Maybe I did a little bit. In my mind, I wasn't thinking I was, but now that I said that, I made it a little God, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to that deli, though, at some point. I'm going to have a fresh piece of that. But what the fast does is the interesting term about fast, okay, is that it's the opposite of a feast. That's all it is. See, and so what God is looking for us to do for this fast to work in your life, because how many of you guys want this fast to be effective for you? Not just to get healthy, it's not a diet, all right? But for this fast to be effective, and we all agree we want it to be effective, it's going to require, listen, that you fast your flesh, which is the combination of your body and your mind, and you feast your spirit. See, does that make sense? Because if you're feasting your flesh, you're starving your spirit. See, we too much of our lives, we sow to the flesh in so much of our lives and don't even think about it. Because it's just creature comforts that we have. Now, we couldn't imagine. I mean, how many of you guys almost lose your salvation when you can't find the remote? You know, I mean, you drop your phone. And how many of you guys have dropped your phone and cracked your screen this year? Can I see your hands? Yeah. It's like, and you got to repent of all the words that you say when that happens. And see, we have to understand now that that's all this is. Let's boil this down and make it simple. Man, Eric English here, an elder here, we were talking before the service, and he's just like, man, God's just showing me how simple this life is. And I just keep making it so simple. He said, I could talk to you for an hour about it. And I'm like, that's great, because that's how it works for me. When God's word, when God's promises, when the principles of God are simple, it works for me. Anybody with me on that? That's why it's like praying in tongues is so simple. It's so easy. Man, once you get past the mental part of it, it's so easy. So it's like, yeah, that's perfect for me. God had me in mind when he was there, because I don't have to remember a bunch of stuff. I can just pray in the spirit. You know, when I don't know how to pray as I ought to, but when I want to build myself up on my most holy faith, man, that's what God's given me. But see, when we fast our flesh, we have to feed our spirit. So listen, write this down: 21 days of prayer, 21 days in God's word, and 21 days of a Daniel fast. That's how to make the fast effective. You know, where it's not just, otherwise you're in a diet. You know, it's like a, I don't know, biblical diet. And that's not what we're looking for. It's not Jenny Craig. It's Jesus. the first thing that we believe God for, and this is five of the nine reasons it deals why we fast, okay? Number one's revival. In our lives, and the people we care about, people around our lives. And for me, man, I'm believing God. You know, Guts Church has a ministry footprint in our country. And so I want to make sure that I'm not just believing for revival in my life and revival in Glenn's life, but revival in our country, in our nation. And you know, it's and I think it's real simple when we look at the word that we get to that place where we're believing God and for revival. As we fast, as we pray, as we read God's word, we're believing God for revival. And in 1 Samuel, the 7th verse, in the 7th chapter and the 3rd verse, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts then put away the foreign gods. See, this should be a seminar a little bit tonight, is that how many foreign gods have you allowed to come into your life? Little gods, okay, listen, you'll think, I love Jesus. Nothing about Baal. I don't have any idols. It's like, really? You know, because I think the things that we put undue affection, listen, and attention and focus on, those things begin to take places in our lives that probably shouldn't. And we have to get away from those, from foreign gods. We have to make sure they're not living in our house. Make sure that they're not occupying our hearts. And then in the middle of it, he said, and serve him only, serve God only. And in your notes, just write, I serve God only. I'm not serving Netflix. I'm not serving television. I'm not serving the internet. I'm serving God only. Verse 4, so the children of Israel served the Lord only. Verse 5, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And they turned and they repented. And that repenting is huge. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people are called by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Do you understand? Can I make this as clear as I can make it? We have a responsibility as believers in Jesus and living in America that we have to take some responsibility for where our country is. We can't lay it on politicians. We can't lay it on the government. We can't lay it on the Constitution. We can't, man, all that stuff. Let me just tell you, I'm red-blooded American, red, white, and blue to the core, greatest country on the earth. But let me just tell you, it's not going to stay that way if the church doesn't humble, if we don't humble ourselves and cry out to God, seek his face, and pray and believe for God to heal our land. Otherwise, let me tell you, if that doesn't happen, I believe we've already exceeded the tipping point in our country. See, I'm just telling you, I've got people that I'm gonna vote for, I've got people that I'm believing God for, I've got people that I was with Mike Hayes recently, he told me that the Lord spoke to him and told him to support a candidate. He said, because he's a man that God's hands on. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what? There's people I want to support too. And it's not because of a political agenda. I want to hear from God. Man, I want to hear from God. I want God's man in my life is who I vote for, whether he's elected or not. Number one is revival. Number two is freedom. And it's freedom from bondage. You know, and the easy one, and then I'll ask you a question here after I read this scripture. But Matthew 7:19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we cast him out? You know, that the demoniac, they tried to cast and nothing happened. And the mother came to Jesus and Jesus took care of it. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and you say this mountain move from here to there, and it'll move and nothing will be impossible to you. However, okay, listen to this. However, verse 21, this kind doesn't go except by prayer and fasting. Now, see, we look at this and this case is pretty drastic with this demoniac kid, okay? But I'm just telling you, all of us have something that has a grip in our lives, that has a hook in our lives, that only comes out by prayer and fasting. That's meant to be a stronghold in our lives. And let me just tell you, man, through this time, we're believing God. You ask God, say, God, help me identify what that stronghold is in my life. And you know what? For you, it might be plural. It might be a number of things. But then it's like, okay, God. And then as your mind goes to, I want that piece of cheesecake or I want that burger or I want that taco or whatever it is, you know what? You just say, God, I just thank you that I'm free of this bondage in Jesus' name. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a pastor. Today. And he was talking to me about a guy that was just shipwrecked because of alcohol, because of liquor. and alcoholism, and had lost everything. And the guy came to him, and he was looking for a rehab somewhere, you know, in that town. And he said, "But I need it to be a Christian rehab," which is interesting. Okay, to me it is. I don't know about to you, but it is to me. And this doesn't have anything to do with rehabs. But I told him, I said, "You know, what I'm convinced about is that if." And I said the name of his church. I said, "This is a great church that you pastor. If he was just there at the prayer meetings, the midweek service, a Sunday service, and serve at a Sunday service for 6 months, I guarantee he wouldn't be drinking anymore. Guarantee it. 100%. And he laughed and he said, "I think that's true." And you know, there's something to this. And I could go back. I could go back to Isaiah 40, 31. "Those who meet together before the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." And you know what? And walk and not faint means to walk worthy of the vocation, what they're called. Walk worthy of the call in their life and the Lord. And see, we have to understand this. Let's just make this simple. This is not a Christian rehab, this church. People will call all the time, "Hey, can you help? Can you help with it?" I remember the first time we ever fasted. The very first time, there was a guy that told me he was going to fast pot. He said, "I know I'm not supposed to smoke it. I know I'm talking to a preacher, but I'm not going to smoke pot on this fast." I'm like, "Hey, great." And you know what? I believe that person is still serving God. He was a few years ago still serving God after over 20 years. See, we look at this and you're thinking, but it's such a small step, me not eating burgers or me not eating chicken or me not frying eggs in the morning. Man, it's not. You're right. The big step is committing to church once a week. That's the biggest step that you're going to take. The biggest commitment you're going to make, I believe, in your Christian walk is that you're not going to forsake the assembly of yourselves together. The rest of the steps are little ones. Because, you know, invariably, we're coming up on the time where it's going to be raining, it's going to be snowing. That guy with the top button that's too tight on TV that's got the map and saying, "Hey, if you don't have to leave your house, don't leave your house." And invariably, it's 20 minutes before church. And it's like, what have you got against the church? They're not telling people not to go to the casino. They know on Sunday morning where people are going. But see, the important thing for us to understand is that's the biggest step that you're going to take. But the average American that's committed to a church right now, you know what? Their average attendance is once a month. I don't know how you're pastored or shepherded. I don't know how to pastor people in 35 minutes a month. I don't know how to. I'm just telling you. That's like beyond me. So I think it's repetition. I think it's coming back and getting a little more and getting a little more and getting a little more, and then you believe in God. And next thing you know, there's so much that's in your past and you've been delivered of so much, but I think a lot of that's denying your flesh. Because I'll tell you, everything we do here, I mean, the temperature's pretty comfortable in here. The chairs are pretty comfortable. The music's pretty good. Man, the environment, I mean, it's safe. Man, you know right now your babies are being blessed and ministered to, and your kids, the teenagers are having a great time. Man, you don't have a worry in the world right now within these 30 acres that we're on this property right here. But you know what? It's what's happening on the inside of you right now that matters. Man, that you truly have the opportunity to be strong here today, to be elevated here today, to be able to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. Man, and let me just tell you, I can start pointing people out. Man, I can tell you, if Eric English can serve God today, and it's been over 20 years or 25 years, whatever it is, that he served God, if he can start where he was and serve God now, doggone it, anybody can. I mean, I normally say that about me, but there's people all over this room. Man, you look at Juan Charles, you look at Jeremy Bedell. The first time I met Jeremy Bedell, I'm so glad that I'm not judgmental or critical. Like, otherwise, I'd have walked away thinking he has no chance. And now look at him, man, a man of God, about to have his third kid, got to finally have a man child. I mean, it's number three is blessing. And specifically in your notes, blessing over trouble. Ezra 8:21, "Then I proclaimed a fast at the river that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek him the right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our possessions. See, and it goes on. It's for blessing upon our lives, our children's lives, a blessing over our possessions. Man, right now, I'll just tell you that, man, the devil is going to try to deceive you and convince you, and little things that are the natural course of life that happens, that it rains on the just and the unjust alike, that if it rains on you when you're in a fast, you know what? The devil's going to throw you the disclaimer on it saying, see, I told you it wasn't going to work. It's not going to matter that you're not eating that stuff. The fourth thing is wisdom. And really, honestly, it's wisdom for your future. How many of you guys would love to be excited about your future? You would. You'd love to be excited about your kids' future. You'd like what's in front of you to be better than what's behind you. Anybody like that? Anybody? Well, man, this fast, it opens areas of your heart up that might have been closed because you've been sown to the flesh. And now that you're sown to the spirit, you know what the Bible says? You reap life and peace. And the word peace is actually prosperity. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, Acts 19:17, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, and immediately there fell in his eyes something like scales and it's from his eyes, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. This guy became Paul, the Apostle Paul. And see, because Ananias, because other people encouraged Paul, but you know what? Those men had lived fasted lives. See, and what happened is that procured that even in Saul's life, who became Paul, and then you could see. But God gives us wisdom. You know, this Sunday, the message is gonna, it's gonna be real simple. It's just gonna be how to hear from God and how to have God's direction in your life. You know, and what's interesting is that I wanna say you need to get tired of drilling dry wells. I want to say something like that, but I'm not going to in that direction. What I am saying though is that do you understand? It's God's heart, it's God's will for all of us to hear his voice, to hear from God. You know, there's people in here, you've heard from God. But you know what? It's every day. It's every decision. You're never on your own. It's that God's direction is the amazing just view of the world. If what are those things that those Viewmaster things or whatever, it's got the disc with pictures on it. You go like, you hold it up to the light and you go like this and you look at the pictures. Just for me, my vantage point, the pictures of God's direction in people's lives has just been, it's just overwhelming to me. Man, I look at the Hurleys. I look at Brooklyn and Press. You know, 3 years ago, Press is believing God for direction and to hear God's voice. And the next thing you know, he took a jump in his career that is unheard of. It's like, how did that happen? People ask me all the time, how in the world that I've heard people ask him, how did that happen? And I guarantee you what it did is that it just gave God an opportunity to move in his life and bless his life. But guess what? It wasn't about that. It was about wisdom. It was about trusting God. See, what I'm hoping for is that there's areas of your life that you're not aware of, that you haven't been trusting God, that God makes you wise in those areas. Not in your own eyes, but wise in those areas where it's like, oh my gosh, man, I've been relying on my own strength, on my own abilities. You know, see, we use scripture too much for in our angle, where it's comfortable for us, where the Bible says, in our weakness is made his perfect strength. So we're thinking about this, and we're thinking, well, that means, man, if I'm weak in an area, that God, no, that means I don't want to be strong in any area. See, because we need to read farther where Paul said, I would rather be weak and trust God than to be strong in any area. But I think about my life. I think about my strengths. I think that if this were a job interview and I'd wanna let you know, man, give you the resume of my strengths. Guess what? All that stuff the Bible says is of filthy rags. Because all those things amount to my righteousness. But you know what? Man, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Then I'm trusting God. See, there's areas that you may not believe it, you may not have to believe God for money, but you better. You may not have to believe God for your health, but you better. You may not have to believe God for your relationships, but you better. See, these areas where we're thinking, you know what? I think we're deceived. And I think a lot of times it's just pride. And you're thinking, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm stronger than that. Here, let me handle that because I'm stronger than that. Well, that is pride. And the Bible says pride comes before the fall. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace, gives his power to the humble. The only reason I'm humble is because I'm weak. Man, if I'm strong, I'm bragging. If I'm strong, I'm competitive. Are there any other competitive people in here? Any other bragging people in here? Yeah, you know what? But I've got to keep myself humble. The Bible says for me to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, humble myself under the mighty hand of God, and not try to deal with it in with me. The fifth reason is victory. And victory, I don't mean it generally. I mean victory over the enemy of your life. In Daniel, the 10th chapter, in the first three verses, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. Daniel's a lot better. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel was talking. He wasn't talking about a flesh and blood battle that he was in here. He was talking about a spiritual battle here. He was talking about a war in the heavenlies here. And see, and that's how we have to look at this time where we fast. Is that, and you guys that maybe haven't been fasting and now you're considering it, I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to do it from now through the healed services. And I'll tell you why, because there's a war in the heavenlies for your soul. There's a war in the heavenlies for your future. There's a war in the heavenlies for your gifting. See, that's the key. See, you might get through it. You might scrape by. You might make it. But if you don't walk in the call that God's put on your life, in the gifting that God has for you, see, that's what bothers me. I'm just thinking, horsepower, I know our church, pound for pound. Oh my gosh. Man, the footprint of ministry in this area, in this region, in our country should just, I mean, but I just think that too many people's giftings and callings and are just stifled. You know, I was in a staff meeting here Monday, and people were given reports, and Aaron and Marcy White stood up. They host our Sky Took Church, and they're just pups, man. They're like 25 years old. They're young, and they've done it now for a few years, and this Sunday is the 5th anniversary of that church, and they've kind of just taken it, and man, he's had wild dreams like most of us, like I definitely would have had. But you know what? Man, I've kept him constrained. I said, listen, man, you've got to do this. You've got to invite everybody that you see to church. You've got to follow up with everybody who's ever come, and you've got to take care of that building. And you know what? Nothing else. Well, after you do that for a while, you're thinking, that's not that big a deal. It's like Sundays for church people. Oh, if you were to get, come here, anybody here need to get your life right with God tonight? Anybody? Can I see your hand? You do? Okay, if I just told you, what's your name? Tabitha, all you got to do is be here this Sunday and next Sunday. All you have to do is be here the next 50 Sundays, and that carries out the year, okay? That's all you have to do. And this whole thing, and I'm telling you, it's going to work out for you. Because you're going to get it. It's gonna, man, lights are going to come on in dark areas of your life, and you're going to get it. But now listen, but you're thinking, oh, that's not big that big a deal, right? But then you know what? June, man, you got those friends that get a new boat. And they're not going to the lake on Thursday. They're not going to the lake on Tuesday. They're going to the lake on Sunday. So you're like, well, wait a second. But it's not that big a deal until it is. See, the reality of it is, it's a little bit heavier than we thought. It's a little bit of lifting just to come to church on Sundays. And listen, I'm not just saying this because of attendance. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people here, Tabitha, this Sunday, whether you come or not, okay? It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, where's Tabitha? We're not going to be able to do it. I'm telling you this for you. See, this works because the things that it's not that big a deal. It's not going to be that hard. The reality of it is, with your flesh, it's super hard. Because the next thing you know, somebody's going to ask you to help in the nursery or work the crosswalk. I mean, my goodness, Jim, how many years have you worked the crosswalk? 5 years. At some point, maybe not in our lifetime, we may have to have someone else at that crosswalk besides Jim. But the point I'm making is, as you look at it, and I guarantee you, you'd have to fight him not to work that crosswalk. You know why? That's woven in the fabric of the service of his life. And you know what it's done? It's benefited him. It's made him better. It's made his marriage better. The commitment to God's house has grown stronger. And see, that's how this works. See, but we have to look at it. We have to think, am I going to partake of the king's table? Or am I just going to, I'm going to eat what's unpleasant. And I had a meal last night. We had a meeting. I spent a lot of money for it. It was so bland. I'm not kidding you. I got the waiter. I said, I need hot sauce. I need to mix something up. I need it to be like 5 out of 5. I need it to, I have to taste something, okay? It can't just be mush. But you know what? I left there and said, God, please forgive me for noticing that I was eating unpleasant food. God, forgive me. God, I don't need the frills that the world needs. God, I want you. God, I want all of you. See, that's where our victory comes. See, it's those little things. The devil, if the devil could have my appetite, I don't know that he needs to try to have much else. And if the devil could have your thought life, if the devil could have your ambitions, if the devil, because let me just tell you, so much of this, the internet's even produced it even more. It's a money grab for people. Oh my gosh. I need to go buy a Powerball, because what if? No. I don't need it. I don't want to partake of the king's table anymore. I don't want what the world offers anymore. I just want Jesus. That's all I want. I want to be around people that are like-minded, because it encourages me. People so committed. The Bible says, happy are those whose God is the Lord. I'll tell you what I'm going to be in 2016. I'm going to be happy. I am. I've had people say, man, I've noticed, man, just talking to me on the phone, man, you seem lighter. I'm making myself. That's not my character. I'm making myself get lighter. I'm a grinder. Doesn't work every day. I just want to sit in God's presence. I don't want anybody trying to conjure anything up. I just want to spend time with God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.